This episode is brought to you by the Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, the best-selling Irish single malt in the U.S. The Sexton is an unexpected modern malt for the everyman, rich in hue, approachable in taste, and memorable in character. Learn more at thesexton.com.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup. This week, we're celebrating Pride. We speak to the bakers who created a custom wedding cake for Charlie Craig and David Mullins, the couple behind the Masterpiece Cake Shop Supreme Court case.
We felt that what happened to Charlie and David was an absolute injustice.
Kat Johnson addresses the controversy surrounding Anthony Porowski, Queer Eye's food and wine expert.
Many viewers thought these recipes were unsophisticated.
And finally, Hannah Forden speaks with nutrition educator Leah Kurtz about the relationship between veganism and queer identity.
It's an interesting way in which food can challenge invisible value systems even greater than sexuality does.
Listen to Meat and Three, that's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E, this week, and celebrate Pride with HRN. Available on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and your favorite listening apps.
Hello, and welcome to A Hungry Society. I'm Korsha Wilson, and this is the show where we talk about food, food media, and so much more. Today's show is a little different than usual. I don't have a guest in the studio because last month I had the pleasure of attending the 4th annual Harlem Eat Up Festival, a week-long festival celebrating Harlem's food, sounds, and art. While I was at the festival, I had the opportunity to interview some of the vendors who run businesses in the historic borough. You'll hear my interviews with Sharon and Lexi Gonzalez, the mother and daughter team behind Lady Lexi's Sweets, Jessica Spaulding of Harlem Chocolate Factory, Melba Wilson of the legendary Melba's Restaurant, and Leticia Young and Raymond Mohan of Lolo's Seafood Shack. Check it out, and don't forget to visit these restaurants the next time you're in Harlem.
My name is Alexis Gonzalez, and I own Lady Lexi's Sweets.
With your mom, right?
Yeah, with my mom. Yeah, Sharon. Oh, Dr. Sharon Gonzalez, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did Lady Lexi's Sweets come about?
Well, it was just, I guess it was my love of cooking. I was actually an accountant major, and then I decided to leave from Baruch and come and start cooking and doing it professionally. What is that? Sorry. So I started cooking professionally, well, in my home, you know, cooking outside. I set up a card table right outside my house, and I started selling cookies outside. And then from there, I saved up my money and got the shop. So it was basically like a love of entertaining and liking to cook that kind of drew me to the shop itself.
So if for people who haven't been to the shop, how would you describe it? How would you describe your business?
I guess your home away from home. A lot of people like to come eat sweets or eat food now, and now we have food, and tell their life story. You'd be surprised, kind of like how the bar is. I guess we're like that because, you know, sweets give you comfort. So a lot of our comfort food gives you comfort and allows people to, you know, interact with other people, chill out, enjoy some of our great events. Like we had a Wakanda brunch, we had Black Panther. So.
That sounds amazing.
It was really good. So basically, you know, Black Panther, it represents all the tribes in Africa. So what we did was we took every tribe that was represented in Black Panther, took one of their foods and created it in a menu. Yeah, so we made like mandazi, their donuts, and then we made jollof rice, and we made, what else did we make? I think we made beber popcorn, so different things, yeah.
That sounds incredible. So today at Harlem Eat Up, what do you have for sale?
Okay, so we have shrimp and grits. So it's shrimp grits with bacon gravy. It's really good, nice and scrumptious. We have oatmeal cream pies. We have pastelitos because we're transitioning to a new cuisine. So it's a Boricua Gichi, which is our Puerto Rican, and our Gichi Gullah side, which is Charleston, South Carolina. So the two of those things mixed together, which are my parents, and they made the foods, and then I mix it to make these foods.
So what's it like to run a business with your mom?
It's fun sometimes.
You made a great face when you said that.
It's eventful. There's never a dull day. We argue, but we know we love each other at the same time. So we know we have each other's best interests, and sometimes we don't share the same ideas because, you know, new school, old school. Me trying to convince her of certain things and me actually listening to her for certain things, because some things, you know, old school way works. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So that type of stuff, you know, we try to give back and forth feedback. It's always good to know that somebody gives an honest opinion and they're always there for you. You know, even when things get rough and, you know, the restaurant business can be really rough sometimes, we have each other to lean on.
So where can listeners find more information about your shop or, you know, how to try it and check it out?
So I'm on 124th and Madison, right there in East Harlem, across the street from Marcus Garvey Park, which is great. Come have some bite to eat and then go sit in the park and chill out. You can always find me on Lady Likes the Sweets on Instagram or Facebook. And soon you'll be able to find me online a little bit more, because I'm doing a lot of tutorials on how to cook the real home food. Not all the refined foods that we see out there that people don't necessarily cook in their house, but more foods that, you know, basic people eat, because, you know, millennials don't cook anymore. So we need to figure it out. Like the basics, like even making rice, making deviled eggs, you know, not burning rice. and if burning rice, it's okay, because they call it concon, but when you burn the rice and you scrape off the bottom, you actually eat it.
Yeah, that's actually like a prized part of the rice pot. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, even learning how to make those mistakes into something. So, you know, I want to teach all those things to everybody.
Well, I think millennials could use it. I am a millennial, but I know how to cook. But a lot of people don't.
Yeah, we're one of the few that can cook, right? Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me, and I'm going to let you get back to your booth, but thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so we're here at Harlem Eat Up, and we are back with the mother behind Lexi's Sweets. Can you say your name?
Sharon Gonzalez.
Thank you, Sharon. So we were talking to Lexi about what it's like to work as a mother and daughter team at the shop. Can you talk about what it's like to be on the mom side of that?
It's hard. I want to kill her every day, but I do. No, it's good. It has a good days and it's bad days, because she calls me mom in the shop, and I try to get her to stop calling me mom in the shop. Just call me Sharon in the shop, because we're partners in the shop, and then outside of the shop, then I'm mom. So, you know, sometimes it overlaps, but it's great. It's great. It's great.
So we were also talking about the menu today and how it combines like the Geechee cuisine and the other side?
Puerto Rican,
yes, yes. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like,
from Charleston, South Carolina. So my grandmother used to make shrimp and grits every morning. She was a big and with the crab meat gravy. So she used to take the crabs and she would pick the crab meat outside, and then she would make the gravy by scratch. And for years I was trying to just do her recipes, because they were never written down. So basically, I remembered by smell and by taste. So now Lexis makes me write everything down, because there was no recipes for bread pudding and shrimp and grits and anything. There were no recipes for it. We just learned by taste, by look, and by smell. So now we're taking our time and writing it down. And her father is, my husband, my late husband, is Puerto Rican. So she infused that part with the Southern stuff. So that's how we got the fusion.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you have any favorites that you have on the menu, not just today, but at the shop?
The brittles, because I make all the candies. The candies are my favorite, because you don't need any flour. I hate flour. She loves flour. I hate flour. So I like the candies. I like my turtles. I like my bread pudding. I like the banana pudding. That stuff that I do. Everything she does, she likes. So it works out. I do everything I like. She does everything she likes. And then it comes together.
So it's a great team.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me. Okay, so we are here at Harlem Eat Up with Jessica Spalding. Can you talk about your chocolate shop?
So our shop is now, we just opened on Valentine's Day of this year. We're on 138th and 7th Avenue, between 138th and 139th, 2363. It's just amazing. I'm like kind of like flabbergasted that we're even open. You know, it was such a labor of love and a journey to get here. So I'm like, this today is kind of like a little celebration for me, which is why I'm on my third cup of Hennessy already. But like, you know, I'm really happy. I'm really proud of myself. I'm really proud of my team that we've made it this far, and now we're open and people can come check us out.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a Hennessy thing in the corner, you might as well celebrate, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have a whole space. We have like a little dance.
A little dance floor over here in your corner.
Like they got the tunes.
The music's good.
Exactly. The music's good. We're right next to liquor and drunken fruits across from Catfish. We're living.
So why chocolate? What do you love about chocolate?
It's amazing because it really is something that was given to me by my mom. My mom is a chocolate junkie. But her and my father, they met actually at a health food store. And he passed away when I was about 2 years old. And she just, like, wanted to keep him alive, that she, like, went straight, like, health crazy. And so there was, like, no sugar, no snacks. I had Kool-Aid for the first time when I was like 13 years old. Like, you know, just wasn't something that was allowed, but she couldn't get over her vice with chocolate, but it was like really, really high quality chocolate. And she used to take me to the Salon du Chocolat and, like, you know, just really just trying to embrace something that we were able to connect over because she was busy working as well, you know, being a single mother. So chocolate is just like a kind of a thing that, like, is it's a little bit of an ode to her, but at the same time, like, just something that represents a portion of my life that was just, you know, I was able to experiment. And, like, I always call myself, like, a mixture of, like, Bill Nye, Picasso, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt like, and chocolate allows you to do that because it's scientific, but it's also art. Chocolate is so finicky. Every day,
it's a science.
It's a science, and at the same time, it's an art, you know? And so, like, it combines both parts of my brain, and it's amazing for me.
So can you tell us what you brought with you today?
Today, we have our baby bourbon truffles and our rosé champagne truffles. They're part of this new infused line we're doing. At our shop, we also have our Douce Cognac truffles. Yes, so it's like a Douce Cognac caramel and a milk chocolate shell that's covered with like milk chocolate and feuilletine. The baby bourbon is covered in 72% dark chocolate with hazelnut, and the white chocolate is covered in it's white chocolate, rosé champagne ganache, and covered in white chocolate with candy rose. So it's amazing. Like, this is my favorite collection because, as you could tell, I like a drink sometimes, but it's so fun to have that, like, vehicle, chocolate.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what are your favorite items that you have at the shop? Are these two of your favorites so far?
So my favorite is probably from our Sunday Soul collection, because that's the one that's a little bit, like, personal to me. Because the Sunday Soul collection is about those large Sunday dinners that, you know, you come together and being in Harlem and, you know, gathering your family and meeting up after church. Fridays, if you know, my Muslim family, we meet up after Juma. And it was just like this idea of how family connects. And so that one, I have a banana pudding truffle, a red velvet truffle, and a sweet potato pie truffle right now. And red velvet is my favorite. That's a buttermilk ganache with a mascarpone cream cheese filling, coated in like a really high quality cocoa powder. Oh!
That's amazing. So for listeners who haven't been to the shop, who haven't tried your chocolates, what do you want them to know about your brand and why you do what you do?
So the whole reason behind Harlem Chocolate Factory was really to, like I said, as a kid, I grew up going to the Salon du Chocolat. And in that, you go around, you walk into a room, and they have it set up by country. And you can go to a table and taste the chocolate and get that experience of the country. You know, I remember I absolutely hate green tea, but it was such a unique experience for me being 11 years old and having a truffle coated in green tea. And or then going to the, you know, there's a section from India, and there was like a company from Mumbai that had like turmeric and curry infused like ganaches and truffles and bonbons and everything. And, you know, it was just like you get to taste that country. Because no matter what, you're traveling all over the world. You don't have to go to a museum. You don't have to go to our house. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to eat. And that's how you're going to experience the culture. And so this is like, all right, we have this resurgence of people seeing the value of Harlem. But how do we kind of communicate that culture? And how do we, and what's the vehicle that we use? And for me, that vehicle was chocolate. And so that's the whole premise behind Harlem Chocolate Factory. And just really good chocolate. You know what I'm saying?
But that's the thing is that's so interesting that I love about your story is that you experience these different flavors and you're doing the same thing for other people. You're exposing them to Harlem and the flavors that you grew up eating on Sunday, especially the Sunday solstice. Like, you're doing the same thing.
Exactly. Like, growing up here, you know, it's even times that, you know, I feel like I took Harlem for granted, you know? But it's just not something that is taught to you, you know, just not understanding the history and culture. This, you know, brownstone you walking past every day on the way to school or on the way to wherever, Langston Hughes used to own that, you know, like, this is Madam C.J. Walker's house. Like, what? Like, and when you start to understand it, I went to a program at the Studio Museum of Harlem. That was like they taught photography through the lens of James Vanderzee. And they expanded my brain 75 times, you know, with just understanding like, yo, this one little neighborhood had an impact on society. We ain't got but like 30 blocks wide by, you know what I'm saying, by five avenues on a good day. And it's crazy. So I'm like, okay, well, we can make an impact too. Like, it's important that, you know, the children, the people of the community remember that, and the people coming in know that. And so this is my way of bridging that gap. My little, you know, one little way. It's good chocolate, you know what I'm saying?
It's a beautiful thing. So what do you hope for Harlem Chocolate Factory? What are your big like dreams for it?
Yo, listen, I'm be trying to dream big every day. It's really, I want us to touch as many people as we can. I want to go overseas with it, you know? There is no limits, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have a Harlem Chocolate Factory on the moon. When they go to Mars, we're going to have a little vending stand. You know what I'm saying? I honestly, as you can see, I'm a Trekkie. I would love to have our chocolates a part of the space program. That is like goals.
Okay.
That's goals. It's a weird, random goal. But that's a goal. And we can get something. I don't know if it's a hot chocolate mix, a smoothie. Whatever it is, I would love our chocolate to be a part of the space program in any way, shape, or form.
All right. Today, Harlem Meetup. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, NASA. Right? We're starting with Harlem. We're coming for NASA.
For the solar system.
Yeah, the whole solar system.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you so much for even wanting to talk to me.
Thank you. And I think Cardi B is on, so I'm going to go have some Hennessy too.
I'm Souther Teague of Moria Margo and co-host of The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. This episode is brought to you by the Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, a new and unexpected modern malt for the everyman. The whiskey is made from 100% Irish malted barley, triple distilled for smoothness in copper pot stills, and consciously aged for 4 years in Oloroso sherry butts. My favorite part about the Sexton is that sherry influence from those Oloroso sherry butts. They're the large sherry barrels that have been used, and then the whiskey gets aged in them for 4 years, giving them this sort of nutty, almost savory quality. The copper pot still makes for extremely smooth finish. I like it in a highball or just neat. Every time I have a sip, I want another one. So next time you're gathered with friends or posted up at your favorite bar, reach for the Sexton, the best-selling Irish single malt in North America. You can learn more at thesexton.com.
Hello, listeners. So we are at Harlem Eatup, and I'm about to speak to the legendary Melba Wilson of Melba's in Harlem. Hi, Melba. How are you today?
Hi, I'm Melba. Melba Wilson from Melba's Restaurant in Harlem.
So, Melba's is legendary in Harlem. Can you talk a little bit about its inception and how it started?
The restaurant or Harlemito? Well, Melba's is a labor of love. I was born, bred, and buttered in Harlem, and it was really, really important for me to open up something within the community that I live in and that I love to show children and just to show people in general from my neighborhood that we can open up a business within our own neighborhood and support each other. So that's why I opened up Melba's. And also, I love feeding people. Nothing gives me more pleasure than having people sit at my table and enjoy their food. So it was kind of selfish in a way. It was a way of me getting pleasure from seeing people eat good food.
So that sounds like a lot of the other vendors I've heard. They're like, you know, Harlem is such a great community and wanting to show pride and show the great foodways that are a part of Harlem. Like, it sounds like you're saying the same thing, where it's you just wanted to communicate how much you love this neighborhood, how much you love this borough.
That is true. I definitely wanted to communicate how much I love the community, but I also wanted to employ people from within my community. I think the best thing you can do is teach someone a skill. So we have a lot of people that work with us that started when they were 14 years old. It was their first job when they got their working papers. They went to college, finished high school, went to college, worked with us part-time, and then they left the nest. And to me, that's the blessing, to be able to send someone into the world with skills. That's really, really important to me. And also, it's about economic development. You see, it's important that we spend money and that our dollars circulate within our community in order to be a viable community.
So what do you hope that Melba's legacy is? I mean, you kind of touch on it there, but what are you hoping, like, long term?
I'd like the legacy of Melba's to be that we came, that we shared, and that we inspired. If I can do that, then my dreams will definitely become reality.
So for listeners who have not been to Melba's, what would you say the atmosphere is like? How would you describe it?
When you come to Melba's, it's all about comfort. It's like going to your favorite aunt's kitchen or your grandma Mary's living room and sitting down and breaking bread. Comfort food is food that evokes wonderful and warm memories, and that's what we do at Melba's. It starts when you walk in the door and when one of my managers greets you, to the moment you sit down, the server takes your order, the busboy comes and they, you know, clear the table, until the moment you leave the door. Comfort is an experience, it's a style, and that's what we provide uptown in Harlem at Melba's.
And we were saying off air, we both have the last name Wilson, so we might be related somewhere.
We might be related. It might be in that little barbecue sauce. You know, a little something, something. Wilson meets Wilson.
My family's from Virginia, so who knows? Maybe in the South somewhere.
My family's from Carolina. Not far at all.
Hey.
We have to do that Ancestry.com, and we'll see.
And we'll compare notes.
Let's do that. And let's get in the kitchen and cook together and see. That will definitely tell us if we're related.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you. And I love Harlem Eat Up.
Thank you. Hi, and welcome to A Hungry Society. We're talking to Leticia Sky Young of Lolo's Seafood Shack in Harlem at Harlem Eat Up. Leticia, hello.
Hi, how are you doing? And welcome to Harlem Eat Up.
Yes, it's so good to chat with you. I've been a fan of Lolo's Seafood Shack for a minute, so it's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We really love all the support that we've gotten from the community. I'm born and raised in Harlem, and my family is from Belize. And I opened up the restaurant with my husband, executive chef Raymond Mohan, who was born and raised in Guyana and Queens here. And we've been open for about 4 years. We're a Cape Cod and Caribbean mashup.
Yeah, so for listeners that aren't familiar, can you describe Lolo's Seafood Shack and vibe?
Absolutely. Our inspiration behind Lolo's are the shacks that dot the seaside to the Caribbean. So Raymond and I, we used to live in Anguilla and go to St. Martin a lot, where there were actually little Lolos with their own name. So, you know, there would be different ones with different names. And when we came back and saw this space in Harlem, we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice for Harlem to have their own little Lolo? And basically, we really consider Lolos a gathering place for the community. And we hope that people feel transported because it's also inspired by our love of travel. We've traveled to over 30 countries together, and Raymond has been to 50 countries, and I'm catching up to him.
Wow, that's a lot of travel. That's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. So what we do at Lolo's is really fresh, amazing seafood, but we also have a lot of Caribbean street eats like conch fritters and jerk chicken and jerk ribs as well. And we also have coastal comfort food like sauce, snow crab, and shrimp.
That's amazing. So why was it important for you to come to Harlem Eat Up today? Why did Lolo Seafood Shack want to participate in this event?
Well, we're just really thankful to the producers of the event, to Marcus Samuelson and Herb Harlitz, who created this event, and we've been a part of it from its inception. And what it's really about is showcasing the best of Harlem. And so I'm all about that. I'm a product of my environment. I'm an Ivy League graduate who's really passionate about travel, who's really passionate about food, who's really passionate about people. So for me, that's what Harlem Eat Up is all about, and we're so really grateful to be such a big part of it.
Yeah, and so can you talk about what you have for people to taste today?
Absolutely. Today we're going back to the roots of our executive chef, Raymond Mohan. I'm going to let him talk a little bit about his creation today, which is Indo-Guyanese cook-up rice, and we zhuzhed it up with a bit of fresh seafood.
So the dish is inspired by Guyana. It's a cook-up rice, but I turn it into a seafood version, black-eyed peas, smoked fish, crab and shrimp, and it's topped with a wiri wiri pepper salad and cucumber.
Yeah, and it's so delicious. And you have a bunch of different sauces on the table, too.
Yeah, we have our condiments at Lolo Seafood Shack, which is pineapple chutney, habanero hot sauce, and a ghost pepper.
So do you have a favorite dish at Lolo's? Could you pick one?
My favorite dish is the crab cake and the Johnny cake, on a Johnny cake, and the smoked jerk ribs.
And the Johnny cake, is it like fry bread style or is it the pan?
It's the Johnny cake is a fry bread, our version of a fry bread, but it's traditionally is a Johnny cake that's made with cornmeal and flour. And at Lolo's Seafood Shack, we had a little fresh thyme and scallions.
So everyone that I've talked to here today, everyone has a connection to Harlem. And Leticia, you were telling me that you are a product of Harlem. Why do you think so many people want to open businesses here and stay in the area and contribute to Harlem?
Well, Harlem has always been one of the cultural capitals of New York and of the world. So it's always been a great place for people to celebrate art, music, and that's a big part of what Harlem Eat Up is all about. And people opening up business here is just an extension of all of the great culture that can be found, and that is the heartbeat of what Harlem is.
So looking ahead, people love Lolo Seafood Shack. What are the future plans for the business, for the brand?
Well, right now we're focusing on our catering operation, which is growing, and we're also creating our line of sauces that are going to be featured in Whole Foods in Harlem.
Oh, that's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, so thank you both for taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and thank you for your support of our small business.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.